This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abam, welcome everyone. We have an amazing topic tonight. Welcome. The Shurim of Tavshin Pevavar, dedicated by the Zoe family, great neck, Lilo Nishmas, Malka Bas Yosef, Ganeden Tim Nechasa, she should be Mulitzi Yishar for her whole family, Adbias Gel Tzedek. The Shurim on Serba Midra is dedicated by Dr. Zakim Mishpachta, Lilo Nishmas, Shom Eliezer ben Rabbi Yaakov Zakim, Rivka Bas Tuvi Halevi, Rabdav ben Rabbi Yaakov Tzia Kohen. Serba Midra is also dedicated by Mrs. Yehudit Herman, Lilo Nishmas, her husband, Harav Shabsi Benish ben Moshe. Sefer Bamidbar is also sponsored by Rabbi Isaac Yosilevsky, Lilo Nishmas' father, Shabsi ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, whose yard site was this past Sunday, Tesvav Sivan. Tonight's shir is dedicated by our dear friend Rabbi Eli Babayev, Lilo Nishmas, his grandmother, Michal Rosa Bas Yafa. B'gan Eden Tehe Menuchasa. We have an amazing topic tonight. First of all, let's start with a very beautiful picture. This is a picture that, could you see it? This is a picture of the home of Rav Moshe Sternbach. The most important item in the picture, just ignore the people for a minute. Ignore the silver trumpet that hasn't been blown in 2,000 years. Check out what sefer is on his table. On the table of the Poisek Hadar is the new sefer, Berachas HaTzadik. That sefer and also his sefer, Tshuvas V'Hanhagos. So now you know, aside from his very own sefer, what sefer you need to get. Berachas HaTzadik. Now, the fact that I placed it there and then took the picture is not so important. The important thing is it's there. It's on the table of the Poisek Hadar. So make sure you're well-equipped with the sefer that rests, you know, sometimes in a sefer that people give you a bracha, it should be Oyla al Shulchan Malachim. So that, look, it was Oyla al Shulchan Malachim. Even if you have to put it on the Shulchan of the Melech, you do what has to be done. Anyway, but we're going to come back to this picture soon. Make sure you're well equipped, Baruch Hasadik. If anyone wants to help put it out in English, it's being worked on, already finished. Parshas Bereishis. Also, upcoming Sefer Avas Yisrael of the saintly Chafetz Chaim. Somebody called me up recently. He wanted me to help him fundraise. He's putting together different things from the Chafetz Chaim, and he showed me a letter that anyone who helps publish the works of the Chafetz Chaim will be a Melus Yoisha for you. And I'm saying, you know, I'm humoring him that, you know, could I help him? Could I not help him? But I said, you help me because I'm going to be using that letter, you know, to market my next sefer. Anyway, so there are a number of other things in the queue. If you want to be mishtatef, please let us know. Parshas Bahaloscha. Pasuk says, Perak Yud, Pasuk Tes En Yud. V'chi savoyu melchama ba'artzachem. And when war comes to your land, al hatsar hatsoyer eschem, regarding the oppressor, the afflictor who afflicts you, you should sound the trumpets. V'nizkartem, you'll be remembered lifnei Hashem lekechem, before Hashem your God. V'noishatem me'oyevechem, you'll be saved from your enemy. Uv'yom simchaschem, and on the day of your joy. Uv'mayadeichem, and on your holiday. V'rashei chodsheichem, and on your first months, the beginning of the month. U'sikatem achatzoitzrois, you should blow the trumpets. Aloi loisechem, when you bring a carbon oil, when you bring a carbon shlamim, you will be remembered before Hashem, Ani Hashem Lekechem. So we have this mitzvah called the mitzvah of blowing trumpets. These two psukim delineate a few different scenarios. The first one mentioned before war. The second, and the second pasuk speaks about blowing it on Yamim Tovim, on Rosh Chodesh, on other holidays, when you bring a carbon oila and a carbon shlamim. Now, most of you, look, I'm not that old, but I've seen a lot of strange things happen in shuls over the years, but I have never seen anyone blow the trumpets. I've seen them blow shofars in strange places. I remember I was once in Elul, my uncle once got married in Elul. I mean, once upon a time, I was in Eretz Yisrael for Elul, my uncle got married, so I went back for his wedding. And So now I'm coming back on the flight. I think it was... It was during a slichos. And so it was back in the day when they let you make minyanim on the flight, you know. It was an LL flight. And okay, so I go for shachar, but it was slichos. So before shachar, there was slichos. And before slichos, there was a muster shmuz. Imagine it's on the plane. There's a guy covered, his head was covered in his talus, giving a muster shmuz. And then during slichos, they were sounding the shofar on the flight during the slichos pre-shachar. But so I've seen shofar even on LL, but a trumpet? You ever see anyone blow trumpets? Where does this come from? What is the status of trumpets in Jewish practice? So the Rambam codifies mitzvah nuntes. We're commanded to blow the trumpets in the temple. Im hakravas hakarban mikarbanei hamayadais. As we bring the karbanos from the karbanos of Yom Tov, as the pasuk, the Rambam cites the pasuk we read just before of Yom Simchascham of Mayadechem Usakatem. And the usakatim is referring to the chatzoytzrois. And then the Rambam says, "V'chein anachnu mitzuvim l'tkoya b'chatzoytzrois be'itoys hatzorech." We're likewise commanded to blow the trumpets at times of need, v'hatzorois in times of distress. Kishenitzak l'fnei Hashem yisala, when we cry out to Hashem. That's the pasuk actually before. It's interesting. The Rambam, the way he codifies these two halachos, he quotes the later pasuk and then he quotes the earlier pasuk. He quotes blowing on Yom Tov in the mikdash, and then he quotes blowing during times of trouble. So that's the first observation you need to make. Why, when the Rambam codifies these halachas, the halacha of blowing it at a time of distress and the halacha of blowing it on Yom Tov, the Rambam flips the order of the psukim? Why does he flip the order? Also, why does the Rambam consider this one mitzvah? You know, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And another mitzvah is to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel. The Rambam doesn't combine these two mitzvahs. They're two distinct mitzvahs. And yet when it comes to the blowing of the trumpets, the Rambam combines as one mitzvah. They're all part of this umbrella mitzvah of blowing trumpets, either blowing it on Yom Tov by Karbanos or blowing it at a time of distress. Bottom line is, though, the Rambam codifies that there's a mitzvah to blow trumpets at a time of distress. Likewise, the Rambam in the Yad, Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Mitzvahs aseh min haTorah lizoik ulahariyah. There's a positive commandment to cry out and to sound the chatzoytzreis, al kol tzara shetavei al hatzibur, for any time of distress. Now, yeah, he wants me to have the chatzoytzreis blown for the Knicks. No. We're talking about genuine distress, okay? And kolomer kol davar sheyetzer lachem, anything that distresses you. Kogoyin batsoyres, for example, a famine, v'dever, a plague, v'arba chiyotzebehen, zo'aku aleim v'heriyo. Fine. So Rambam codifies this both in the Sefer HaMitzvos and in the Yad HaChazaka. So the question is, you know, we have a lot of mitzvos. We try to keep them. That's the goal here. You know, God sends us down to this world for a short amount of time to fulfill the mitzvos, and that's our mission in this world. So we like to do mitzvahs. We wake up every morning. There are very limited mitzvahs d'oraisa that we perform every morning. First being Berachas HaTorah, or Tzitzis, Tfilin, Kriya Shema. There are limited mitzvahs aseh. What happened to the mitzvah of blowing trumpets? How come we don't do it? Time of distress. Let's say when we go to war. Do we blow the trumpets when there's some type of dangerous or disastrous situation? When there's famine, when there's trouble, when there's danger? Why don't we blow the trumpets? Look, Jewish people and danger unfortunately, the combination is very common. We've had many difficult situations throughout our history. Why are we not commonly, frequently blowing the trumpets? In fact, take a look in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, the most concise of all the Noisei Kelem. And I'm very excited to announce, if you want to join us for our upcoming trip this July 5th, starting Sunday night, we're going on a short trip. It's called Off the Beaten Path. Unusual Kvarim, starting with, we're going to be visiting the Kever of the Magen Avram. Magen Avram was one of the most concise of all the Noisei Kelim. The Magen Avram is buried in Kalish. He was so poor that he didn't have pen and paper at times, and certain things he wrote on the wall of his house. The Magen Avram is bothered. Va'anid Tama, Simen Tavkuf Ayin Vav. Lama in Anu Noyagin Litkaya Be'es Tzara. Why do we not blow, presumably, the trumpets at a time of distress? So you'll say, well, because you're supposed to blow the trumpet at a time of fasting. And there are no fasts outside of Eretz Yisrael. Which means that's a rule based on the Gemara in Tainus, that aside from the set fasts that are to commemorate the Churban Beis HaMikdash, be it Shavuot Batamos, Asar Bateves, Tisha B'Av, we don't legislate fasts anymore outside of Eretz Yisrael. So if there are no fasts, maybe there are no trumpets. So says the Magen Avram, what?
You know that it was someone that you had to fast to blow the Shavuot.
Well, the Rambam in the Yad connects it to fasting. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah midivrei soifrim, likewise, to fast when there's trouble. And at the fast, we blow the shofar. So the Magen Avraham says, okay, nowadays we may not fast, but that's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. There should still be a mitzvah d'oraisa, so of chatzoitzrei. So how do we just blatantly ignore the biblical command of blowing the chatzoitzrei? That is the starting point of this topic. The, yeah.
The chatzrosos, was it a specific, instrument that was in the Mishkan or in the...
Yeah, you're going to see.
Do we even have them?
The Levium? We'll see. Maybe not the Levium. Okay. Let's see. Do we have them?
We don't have them.
I don't have them. We'll see. That's the Kasha the Magen Avraham. Why do we not blow the Chatzoitzrei? So the Chida in one of his classic halachic works, not in Berkei Yosef, in Machzik Bracha, in Siman Tav Kuf Ayin Vav, the Machzik Bracha quotes the Magen Avraham, and the Chida brings the answer of one of the Achronim, the Nesiv Chaim, that the mitzvah of blowing Chatzoitzrei is only in the land of Israel. So since, pretty much, for the last 2,000 years, we haven't been in the land of Israel. So therefore, that's why we don't have a practice to blow the trumpets, because the mitzvah is only in the land of Israel. In fact, if you look in the Mishnah Brura quotes the Nesiv Chaim in number 7, and the Nesiv Chaim has a very compelling diuk. The pasuk says, "V'chizuvei mecham be'artzichem," in your land, right? So Woodmere and the Cedarus is not your land. That doesn't belong to you. That's not your ancestral spot. So therefore, there's no mitzvah of chatzoitzrei. That's why that would be an answer to Magen Avraham's question. You know why the minhag in Klal Yisrael is not to blow chatzoitzrei? Because only ba'artzichem. But then the Chida says, okay, great answer. But you know, there have been Jews in the land of Israel throughout the last 2,000 years, whether there have been big settlements, smaller settlements, and certainly in times of the Chida, there was a very impressive settlement of Jewish community in Yerushalayim, in Hebron, and other places, and still nobody was blowing trumpets. So the Chida asks, "Va'dayin kasha, de'eino egin kein afil b'aretz Yisrael." Then we don't blow trumpets even in Israel. So don't tell me that the answer to Magen Avraham's kasha is that we don't blow trumpets nowadays, or we haven't blown for 2,000 years because you can only blow in Eretz Yisrael, because they didn't blow it in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer of the Nesiv Chaim is not really sufficient. One possibility is that if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Shin Pei Dalet, the Sefer HaChinuch says this mitzvah is only applicable when the Beis HaMikdash stood. It only applied when there's a Beis HaMikdash. The Lashon of Sefer HaChinuch is V'hanoy Heges Mitzvah Zu Bizman Habayis. Okay, but that may not be a satisfactory answer, because we don't typically paskin straight up like the Sefer HaChinuch. We would usually go like the Rambam, Bali HaTosis, the Rif, the Rush. They don't make this stipulation. The Rambam doesn't say anything about the Beis HaMikdash. Although we did mention that the Rambam groups together two aspects of the mitzvah. One, blowing it in the Mikdash, and two, blowing it at a time of tzara. So put that aside for a moment. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, because very interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah himself brings the question of the Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Kof Ayin Vav, that why do we not blow Chatzos Reis Be'ez Tzara? So he's saying that we can't afford it. You see what they put on the Sefer Torah? You see the crowns they have on the Sefer Torah? You know? The king, the Queen of England wishes she had a crown like that, you know? So, I would imagine you take one of those crowns, you could melt it down and make a trumpet. So the Mishnah Berurah, without quoting the Nesiv Chaim, brings the answer, the Nesiv Chaim. In the Shaar Tzion, he says he's quoting the Nesiv Chaim, that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pri Megadim. And the Pri Megadim gives an answer that might surprise you. Pri Megadim says, yeah, it's true. The mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but that's only when we have autonomy in Eretz Yisrael. But so long as we're under the rule of the Sultan, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire, there's no mitzvah to blow the Chatzos Reis. Now, whatever your opinion is about the Medina, the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is, the Afer is a Dafka Kishahaya Tachas Rishusenu. Okay? So that would seem to indicate that nowadays there should be a mitzvah of blowing Chatzos Reis. That would be seemingly one of the easiest mitzvahs to restore. Because the only thing that's holding us back, maybe the Pri Megadim says, it's only if Eretz Yisrael is under our Rishus. Then the Pri Megadim says, it could be, it's only if there's some kind of danger on the majority of the Jewish people. Okay, well what if Eretz Yisrael is going to war? Are they the majority of the Jewish people? Today, right now, June 3rd, 2026, where are the majority of the Jewish people? I think it's pretty close. Or if it's not yet, it'll happen pretty soon, where the majority of the Jewish people will be living in the land of Israel. So when that day happens, do you have both conditions that the Pri Megadim says? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. You know, for B'nai Yeshiva, the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Pri Megadim, and both reasons maybe are fluid. It's only when Eretz Yisrael is under our Rishos, and it's only when Roiv Yisrael is there. These are the two answers of the Mishnah Berurah. I understand.
Roiv Yisrael has to be in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, but I'm saying if there's some kind of war against Eretz Yisrael, l'chayra that means that it's, you know, Roiv Yisrael, there's a gzeira in Roiv Yisrael. Okay. Many achronim deal with this question of the Magen Avraham. What happened to the mitzvah of Chatzos Reis? So I'm gonna tell you off the bat that I'm gonna acknowledge my good friend Rabbi Josh Wander, who in this picture, aside from the fact that you have my beautiful sefer of Birchas HaTzadik on the table of Rav Sternbach, this gentleman over here, he's a friend of mine, Rabbi Josh Wander. I'm reading to you his page on Wikipedia. He's an American-born Israeli rabbi, Aliyah activist, and former Zaka spokesman. And among his many credentials is he recreated the Chatzos Reis, bringing them back into existence after a 2,000-year hiatus. So from his own dime, he made these silver Chatzos Reis. So usually when I go to Eretz Yisrael, he very kindly takes me to Har HaZeisim. He lives on Har HaZeisim. And after he took me and my dear friend Reb Nosson Wadler, and he took us to some other great places this time, we really got a very good overall tour of the whole Har HaZeisim. You could check out many of the videos, amazing footage. And this year we also went to Har Eval. What is it called? Har Bracha, overlooking the Kever of Yosef. So we, what?
Grizim.
No, it's called Har Bracha. Right, Har Grizim, Har Bracha it's called, yeah, overlooking Kever Yosef. And I had mentioned that I'm going to be going to Rav Sternbach. So I have a friend, we'll give him credit, Jake Mala. He said, Rabbi, I could get you in. He took me to Rav Yitzchak Yosef. He took me to Rav Sternbach. So Rabbi Wander said, you're going to Rav Sternbach. Maybe I could come along. So I said, what are you going to be doing by Rav Sternbach? He wants to show Rav Sternbach his chatzotzos. So I very bravely, I don't know if he thought I was being brave, but I was. I bravely allowed him to join us. And that's the picture. So you have in this picture the Birchas HaTzadik along with the first silver chatzot. Well, I don't know if they're the first silver, as you're going to see coming up. And actually, I think he commissioned a book called Chatzotzrois, The Trumpets of the Bible, Understanding a Forgotten Mitzvah. It's called an initiative of Rabbi Tully Weiss and Rabbi Josh Wander, compiled and edited by Rabbi Ari N. Enken. Anyway, in the back of that sefer, you could look at the very last Maror Makom on the sheets. There's a tshuva that Rabbi Wander wrote to the former chief rabbi, Rabbi David Lau, about reinstituting Chatzotzrois. The tshuva is addressed to Harav Yaakov Yosef Wander, who's, I believe, Rabbi Josh. And Rabbi Lau goes through some of the basic Maror Makomos on this topic, just citing them. He cites Rabbi Yashiv's tshuva. He cites a letter from Rabbi Shraga Feivel Frank. We're gonna take a look at that. He cites Rabbi Moshe's tshuva. Actually, Rabbi Moshe has two tshuvas on it, and the tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer. We'll see Rabbi Lau's conclusion in the end. And here are some of the pictures. I'll let you know about what this meeting was like and something that Rav Sternbach said about the Chatzotzrois. And actually, just today, maybe you heard, there was a changing of the guards of one of the brigades that was in Gaza. And today a new brigade came in, of the brigade, the Haredi Hashmonai Brigade. And before they went in today to Gaza, they blew these Chatzotzrois just today. This week's parsha, Parshas Bahaloscha. Okay, so we're still discussing the subject of the Magen Avram. Okay, we're trying to address this as a halachic issue, and we know there's a concept in Torah, Neshama Parim Sefaseinu, which means that even when we're limited in by circumstance to fulfill certain mitzvahs, by learning about it, it's considered like you did it. So we hope that our learning about this forgotten mitzvah should be reckoned in Shemayim, Ki'ilu Kiyamtiha. And it's important to have awareness of all the various mitzvahs in Torah. So we're continuing studying many of the various answers that are brought in the Achronim regarding why we don't blow Chatzotzrois today. The Maruk Tzia, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, also quotes the question of the Magen Avraham. And he brings a very interesting answer. He says, venerally pashut, that first of all, the mitzvah saseh is only in Eretz Yisrael, like the pasuk says, v'chisavayu mecham v'artzechem. And the mitzvah is only for kohanim. And it's only for kohanim miyuchasim. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden is of the opinion that lots of luck finding a kohen meyuchas. Any kohanim in this year?
Here.
So, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a very long discussion about establishing the lineage of the kohanim, and therefore he says we can't be sure of the lineage of the kohanim, and we're not going to have them blow the Chatzotzrois. Then he says something very interesting. He says, and nowadays, we don't have Chatzotzrois shel Torah. What does that mean, we don't have the Torah Chatzotzrois? What does that mean? Bottom line is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden brings this question about Magen Avraham, and his justification is, we have a question about the Yichus Alei Kehanim, which you have to, you know, a legitimate question would be, we have a question about the legitimacy of the Kehanim. What's more problematic, to blow a trumpet or to duchen? You know that if a Kohen, if somebody goes up to duchen and he's not a Kohen, he's making a brach levatala. And yet, you know, somehow, when it comes to duchening in the shul, like half the shul empties out to go wash their hands and to duchen. Now, it's amazing how many Kohanim all of a sudden appear, I don't know where they came from, for duchening. That we ask them for a yichas brivul, mehechi tesi you're a Kohen. Like, what makes you a Kohen? You decided when? You decided yesterday to be a Kohen? Just because you could go wash your hands and you could step out for 3 extra seconds? But yet, we're soymich on chazaka. So now all of a sudden, to blow a trumpet, what could be wrong with, you know, what could be the problem, what's the downside of blowing a silver trumpet? But Rabbi Yaakov Emden gives this as one of the reasons why we don't blow the trumpets. And he says this very interesting idea about Torah, we don't have Torah chatzaytzeres. The Aruch HaShulchan deals with this question. The Aruch HaShulchan also in Siman Tav Kuf Ayin Vav, he brings Yesh Mi Shehiksha. Of course, this is the Magen Avraham. There are those who ask. And he says something very interesting, and it requires further study. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that we hold like the Rishonim, that these blasts of the Chatzoytzrois, the Rabbonim enacted in the 6 extra brachos that we say on a fast day. You know, if you remember in the Gemara Tainis, the Gemara talks about that on a fast day, at a time of trouble, they added 6 blessings to the Shemana Esrei. And at the end of these blessings, they would say a special formula, blow the trumpets, say Amen, say Baruch, a whole thing. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, once the Chachamim legislated that the blasts are connected to these added brachos, nowadays that we don't add the brachos, we also don't blast. Why? Once the Chachamim were mesakein where to put the tekiah, so if you don't have that juncture, then Sheva al Tasa, we passively allow the mitzvah to, so to speak, dissipate as well. Because there's an idea, the Minchas Chinuch talks about, that when the Chachamim tell you how to perform a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, a mitzvah d'Oraisa, excuse me, let's say like this. Let's say the rabbis say, I'll give you an example. Let's say, mid'Oraisa, you have to thank Hashem when a miracle happens. So, come the Chachamim and say, the way you should do it on Chanukah is by lighting the candle. Let's say, I don't want to light the candle. I want to thank Hashem by saying, na 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 na, thank you Hashem. So do I, at least, another, you understand? Biblically, you have to thank Hashem when a miracle happens. The Chachamim come along and they legislate how to fulfill that. Let's say, I don't want to listen to them. Let's say, I want to do it my way. Do I at least fulfill the Doiraisa? No. Once the Rabbanon legislate how to do it, you got to do it that way. And if you don't do it that way, you get no credit at all. So I think the Aruch HaShulchan is utilizing that logic. Namely, the Chachamim explained how to fulfill the Chatzaytzrois. And now that we don't have that, those brachos, so we don't blow the Chatzaytzrois at all. Even though you could ask, there's a very big difference. Because we would like to listen to the Chachamim. And if they would allow us to make those brachos, we would make the brachos and blow the chatzaytzeres. But we don't do that anymore. So then it should revert back to its original form, namely the mitzvah d'oraisa, blowing the chatzaytzeres. So it's a hard answer to understand. And then the Aruch HaShulchan also says the answer, the Nesiv HaChaim, that the mitzvah only applies when the Beis HaMikdash stood. By the way, clearly the Prima Gadim did not hold of these two answers. Because the Prima Gadim said, the reason we don't blow the Chatzaytzrois is because we don't have autonomy in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't give the answer of the Aruch HaShulchan. Or the Prima Gadim says, you need it to be a gzera on Roiv of Klal Yisrael. One of the amazing tshuvas on the subject is Koivetz Tshuvas. Tshuvas of Rabbi Yosef Shalom El Yashiv, Chelek Beis, Simen Ayin Gimel. Lamed Gimel. He says something very interesting. Says Rabbi Yashiv, nowadays, we can't be makdish anything with Shemen HaMishcha. Why not? Let's say we want it to be makdish something. The halacha is, based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Gimel, that we're afraid if you're makdish something with a Shemen HaMishcha, you might misappropriate it, you might get personal benefit from it, and you'll be over on Me'ilah. So we say, stay away. Do not utilize Shemen HaMishcha, even for consecrated purposes, lest you come to get personal benefit and misappropriate it. Says Rabbi Yoshev, by the same token, that's why we don't blow Chatzotzrois. Why? Because you may come to use it for personal benefit. We're afraid you might somehow be over on Me'ila. We might use it for personal needs. The same way we don't, in Makdishim Mizman Hazeh, because lest you come to Me'ila, so too we don't blow the Chatzotzrois Bizman Hazeh, lest you come to use it for personal needs. That's the answer of Rabbi Yoshev. And actually, that's in a way like an eighth reason that we've mentioned so far. I mean, regarding this question of Magen Avraham, why don't we blow Chatzotzrois nowadays? That was the Magen Avraham's kasha. So you have the answer, Nesiv HaChayim, you can only do in Eretz Yisrael. You have the first answer of the Prima Gadim, that it's only when you have autonomy. You have the second answer of the Prima Gadim, it's only when it's exerted on the majority of Klal Yisrael. You have the answer of Yaakov Emden, that you need Kohanim Yuchasim. Then you have the second answer of Yaakov Emden, you need what is called Toiras, Chatzotzrois Shel Toira, even though we're not clear exactly what that means. You have the sixth answer, Rabbi Aruch HaShulchan, that since we're not doing it the way the Chachamim legislated, we don't do it at all. And now, the Aruch HaShulchan gave another reason we don't, it's only Bizman Beis HaMikdash. It's only when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. And now we have an eighth reason, the reason of Rabbi Yoshev, that we're afraid of Me'ilah. Rabbi Yoshev says, though, if you look in the Igros Moshe gives a wondrous answer, but Rabbi Yoshev says that he doesn't understand it. The Rav Moshe didn't explain it. Rav Moshe is mechadesh the following very innovative solution. Let's look back at the Rambam. And it's worthwhile to understand why Rav Moshe was mechadesh this idea. And I think the question that we began with gives us even a more compelling understanding of Rav Moshe. The Rambam, when he codifies the mitzvah of Chatzotzrois, flips the two scenarios of blowing the trumpets. First, the Rambam says Yom Tif by Karbanos. Then the Rambam says on a fast day when there's trouble. Why did the Rambam flip it? And why did the Rambam incorporate it all as one mitzvah? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know why it's one mitzvah? Because the mitzvah of blowing the trumpets is only to blow the trumpets that were made for the Beis HaMikdash. And if you want to make your own trumpets today, you want to take silver. Silver is very expensive today, right? I think silver is like at an all-time high. When I got married, everybody gives you silver for the wedding. Silver challah knives, silver bechers. Somebody even had the audacity to give me a silver cup and they engraved on it, Me'es Mishpachas Ploini Almoini. But don't worry, I took it back to the store and I had them remove their name and I gave it back to the store. But don't tell anyone, okay? So, silver is very expensive. Rav Moshe is of the opinion, I'll read to you his words. It's found in two places. It's in Archaim Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuf Samachtes, Archaim Chelek Beis, Simon Yud Gimel. Rav Moshe says, Davka be'elu hachatzoitzroi shenasu letkoya bahem b'mikdash davka. It's davka, the trumpets that were made to blow in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash. So you can't make trumpets today. You can't have like a machon mikdash. They're going to make trumpets and then... No, it has to be the trumpets made to blow in the mikdash. So Rav Yashiv says, "V'loy biyar lamadavka b'yisachatzar shabim mikdash." The Rav Moshe never explained why. Why could you only blow trumpets that were made to blow in the base of mikdash? V'loy sagi sheyasachatzar shabim miyudim gadzarach mikdash. Why can't it be that you made trumpets that will be destined one day when there will be a base of mikdash? It has to be trumpets made two used in the Beis HaMikdash and used in the Beis HaMikdash? Why? It's a pretty good question. But by the way, the reason Rav Moshe says it is not only to answer the question of the Magen Avraham, why we don't blow trumpets today. It's to explain why the Rambam groups together blowing the trumpets on the Karbanos in the Mikdash together with blowing the trumpets on a fast day. Because you only blow the trumpets on a fast day and you only blow it for war if it was a trumpet that is made and used for Karbanos. So the Chiddush of Rav Moshe has two benefits. Number one, it answers the Magen Avraham's question, why do we not blow trumpets? Well, very simple, because even if we construct our own trumpets, we're not making it for to be used in the Beis HaMikdash currently. And this explains why the Rambam, even though he counts the mitzvah of Shofar Rosh Hashanah and Shofar of Yom Kippur as two separate mitzvahs, the Rambam incorporates blowing the Chatzotzrois of the Karbonos and the Chatzotzrois of a time of danger as one mitzvah. Because it's only a trumpet constructed that is used in the Beis HaMikdash that you could blow in a time of danger. I would humbly say that Rav Moshe's Chiddush answers a third question. It explains why the Rambam flipped the order. You know why the Rambam flipped the order? Because the Rambam is making contingent. You only blow the trumpets on a time of a danger if they were trumpets that were constructed to blow in the Beis HaMikdash over Karbanos. Now, since all the Achronim give their answers as to why, so that's the answer of Moshe and Igros Moshe. Before I offer my own answer, and I think I want to explain Rav Moshe further, I want to just share with you the opinion of Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yud Aleph, Siman Tes Zayin, he's writing to Rabbi Yisrael Valtz in the year Tav Shin Lamed, and just hold on to that date. It's Gimel Sivan Tav Shin Lamed, because as we're going to see, that even though the Tzitz Eliezer was pretty vehemently against the blowing of the trumpets, it was in response to a public gathering of tefillah that the trumpets were blasted at the Kaisal Maravi. And we're going to see what the situation was. And we're going to come back to this picture with Rav Sternbach and what Rav Sternbach said about it. The Tzitz Eliezer, you could take a look in his understanding of the subject of blowing the Chatzotzrois, and when you blow them together with a shofar and when you blow it without a shofar, the Tzitz Eliezer is of the opinion that blowing the trumpets today is a possible prohibition. You're possibly not allowed to blow them today. Ayin Shum, based on his understanding of there are four opinions in the Rishonim, there's the Rambam, there's the Ramban, there's the Ritva, and there's the Chachmei Tzarfas, that there is the Tzitz Eliezer makes the case that it's possible that it's prohibited to blow. But moreover, here's his perspective on the whole issue. He says, even though the Rambam does write there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to blow trumpets, did the Shulchan Aruch codify it? You see anything in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Kuf Ayin Vav about blowing trumpets today? The Shulchan Aruch didn't say a word. How about the Ramah? Rav Moshe Isserles. Bnei Yisrael Hochem B'yad Ramah. So, you know, people like to say, who's your rabbi? My rabbi is the Rambam. It's, you know, because the longer the rabbi's been dead, the more convenient he is to be your rabbi. You know, who, if they wish the rabbi could be like Rav Sadia guy. You know, the longer nobody has heard from the rabbi, the better the rabbi is. So it's very nice the Rambam says this. We don't paskin like the Rambam. We paskin like Shulchan Aruch. It's not relevant. It's not relevant lahalacha lemaisa that the Rambam says there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not codified in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not codified in the Ramah. So therefore, says Rav Tzitz Eliezer, it was not brought to the door of their home. They never brought it on their pure table. And that's why in all their generations, not in the diaspora, not in Eretz Yisrael, it didn't enter any of the Chachamim's mind to innovate a halacha that wasn't codified as a halacha. You can't innovate a halacha that wasn't codified. Now, to explain this further, and to justify those who want to reinstate it, that they're not, heaven forbid, casting aspersions of the sages of earlier generations, they would say, no, we hold like the Magen Avraham's Kasha, why don't we bring it back? And the answer is like the Prima Gadim, you can't do it in the diaspora. You can't do it when we don't have autonomy. But if you're in Israel and you have autonomy, then everybody would say you could do it. So they're perhaps, you know, to justify what they're doing, they're not casting aspersions, but the upshot of the Tzitz Eliezer is that he says it should not be entertained. And then he brings in Ois Zayin, the opinion of the Smag, who argues on the Rambam, and the Smag holds there is not a mitzvah d'oraisa to blow chatzos reis. It's a promise from Hashem. It's a havtacha that when the enemy comes, then we'll pray to him and he'll listen. But it's not a mitzvah to blow them. And that's the Maram Shik brings the Smag. The Tzitz Eliezer further brings something very important and interesting, the Sifri in Bahaloischa, that there's a machloikes, the Tanakam and Rabbi Akiva. Do you blow the Chatzoytzoys for every tragedy? Rabbi Akiva says for every tragedy. The Tanakam says no, you'll only blow Chatzoytzoys b'molchemes goig u'magoig, which is the final war. This is a factor that the Mari Asad brings in his Tshuvos. Oh, you wanted to know whether we're going to be going to the Mari Asad on our off the bean track trip? Yes. We will be visiting the kever in Slovakia of the Mari Asad. Furthermore, there's another interesting machlekes. The Shagas Aryeh is of the opinion that it's undetermined. Should the whole thing be made out of silver or just the mouthpiece and the body of it should be like horn? And we don't have a definitive conclusion how to make it, which, by the way, maybe that's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden means. We don't have the Torah Chatzoytzreis, because which way are you supposed to do it? Totally silver or silver tipped? So the Tzitz Eliezer concludes as follows. When you think about all of the above, on one side, there's a great doubt. Are we even fulfilling the mitzvah? Does the mitzvah apply nowadays? Because of all these various factors, the Tzitz Eliezer concludes, Bal Karchenu Amaskana Misbakeshas Bruhi. The conclusion is clear. The Yesh Lachriya Lishlila. We need to conclude in the negative. The Ein Lanu L'Chadesh Mitzvos Ke'elu Midatena. We don't have a right to innovate these mitzvahs. We're not better than our forefathers. We're not better than our chachamim. We're not better than the sages of the generations, including those who served in the holy city, who lived during times of difficulty, that it never entered their mind to start blowing trumpets. Okay, that is the conclusion of the Tzitz Eliezer. So Tzitz Eliezer says, you shouldn't do it. Really, you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yashiv said, maybe there's a consideration, you shouldn't do it, you might use it for your own benefit. Rabbi Moshe says, Bechlal, there's no mitzvah unless it's the ones made for the Beis HaMikdash. Ein Beis HaMikdash B'li Chiddush. I want to just share with you one very small perspective. Maybe this is part of what Rabbi Moshe means. I think at the very least it has value in terms of reading the Pesukim. And then we're going to come to a very interesting episode and what happened in the year 1970. The Pesukim by the Chatzotzes begin as follows. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimar. Asei lecha shtei chatzotzes kesef. Make two silver trumpets. Miksha ta'asosa. Make them banged out. What are the purpose of the trumpets? V'hayu lecha, they should be for you, l'mikra ha'eda, to call on the community, l'masa, for traveling, as hamachanais. The purpose of the trumpets is to summon the people, and as the psukim continue to say, summon the nasiim, and summon to travel, and to summon to stop. Then it says, by the way, if war comes, blow them. And once you have them, blow them on the karbanis. But what are they made for? What is the primary objective of the trumpets? To call the people. So I ask you one simple question. Maybe this is what Ramosha means. The trumpets, the given directions are, make them to call the people. Nowadays, if you're going to make trumpets, what are you making them for? You're making them to cry out at a time of trouble. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is make them to call the people, and once you have them, use them in a time of trouble. Maybe what Rav Moshe means is, the mitzvah of blowing the trumpets is to use them in the mikdash. What does it mean, use them in the mikdash? As the Torah says, the primary function is. The truth is, he doesn't quite say it like that. So Rav Moshe learns the primary function is for karbonos, and once you have them, you use them. I'm saying, al derech pshutei hamikra, the simple reading of the psukim to me indicate that they are primarily created and fashioned to call on the people to travel and to stop. And once they're fashioned, use them for the following. Now, let's come back. All of the poskim that we learned so far are coming to try to answer the Magen Avram's question. But Lamaisa, the Magen Avram, has a question. His question is, bring him back. There's a Torah journal called Hamayan. In the 10th edition, it was published through Mossad Yitzchak Breuer of Agudas Yisrael. And a submission, and this is a lengthy exposition on the topic of trumpets bizman hazeh. It is so old that you see where it says Chatzoitz Reis bizman hazeh? That's not my handwriting. That's what it says in the Sefer. On the Sefer, in someone's handwriting, it says Chatzoitz Reis bizman hazeh. The conclusion of Rav Chaim Shraga Feivel Frank, a nephew of Rav Tzvi Pesach, he says in 1970, he lived from 1900 to 1972, he says, because of the Hamatzav HaChomor be'Avinaseinu Be'Achrayna, when Ha'am HaYoshev B'Tzion is in great danger from Edom, from Yishmael, the Badatz in Er HaKodesh Yushalayim Tibana V'Sikonin. The Badatz, right? This is, he's not saying the Rabbanut HaRashit. He's saying the Badatz. You know the Badatz? They're Orthodox rabbis. Did you know that? And by the way, look what he says in parentheses. It's miyusad on the Gaonim of Shmuel Salant, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. I don't think he means this decision was founded on their ideals. I think he means the Badatz was founded based on Reb Shmuel Salant, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. They decided lechadish hamitzvah saseh litkaya bechatzoyitz rois. The Badatz reinstated blowing the chatzoyitz rois in 1970. Kefidas HaRambam, based on the Rambam. Beroiv Am, Lefnei Koisel Maravi. So, by the way, the Tzitzel Yezer's tshuva is in response to what they did. He wrote his tshuva, let's see the date, on Gimel Sivan, about a month after this big tefillah gathering. The Tzitzel Yezer was opposed to the actions of the Badatz. Isn't that interesting? Tzitzel Yezer was opposed to the reaction, but the Badatz reinstated this mitzvah, and on a Monday of the last Bahab, Yud Beis Iyar, Tavshin Lamed, when they davened and they said Tachnunin, the Koyhanim blew silver trumpets. And it says Reb Shraga, Reb Chaim Shraga Feivel Frank, I pray that this should be a fulfillment of this week, the passing this week's parsha. V'neskartem lefnei Hashem alekechem, v'noishatem me'oyevechem. By the way, in the journal Noyam, the 16th edition, Rav Nachum Mendel Kasher also has an entry from Rav Shraga Feivel Frank, where he also, again, endorses this decision of the Badatz, Eda Charedis, to blow trumpets. So, Rabbi Josh Wander, who after 2,000 years, according to the page, let's see the Lashon, recreated after a 2,000-year hiatus. Now the million-dollar question, I don't know, $1 million, maybe it's a $50,000 question, or it's probably about, $10,000-$20,000 question, is, and I asked Rabbi Josh today, where are the Chatzoitz Rois that were blown in 1970 by the Eda Charedis? Baruch Shekivanti, right? Where are these silver, who has them? Where are they? because Rabbi Wanda had to recreate them. So now you see, in our trip to Eretz Yisrael in this past January,
when show the camera, showing it to the camera.
Oh, you want to see? Yeah. So I went with my friend Rabbi Nassen Waldler and Rabbi Jake Mala, and we brought Rabbi Wander, and he brought his Chatzoitzreis, and he showed Rav Moshe Sternbach, and he asked Rav Sternbach the following question. Is it true that the Eda Charedes blew Chatzoitzreis? Now, they blew them when Rav Huttner was kidnapped. When Rav Huttner was kidnapped and is hijacked, the Eda Charedes blew the Chatzoitzreis. Now, you know, part of the halachic process is there any precedent to do something? You don't want to start something that in all the generations the Chacham didn't do. But if it was done, it was done. You know, it's an important fact to know. And Rav Sternbach said, yes. Yes, they did. But that was the end of the conversation. But Rav Sternbach did say they did blow the Chatzoitzreis when Rav Huttner was kidnapped. So in this tshuva from Rabbi Lau, he comes to a very interesting conclusion. He says, after bringing the various opinions, bringing Rabbi Yashiv and Rav, who said it's only when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, and Rav Moshe's opinion, and the Tzitz Eliezer, says Rabbi David Lau, that he personally participated in a communal tefillah that was set up by the Rabbanut HaRashit at the Kosel Maravi, Erev Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the date is not clear when that communal tefillah was, and they blew Chatzoitzreis based on the psak of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. So Mordechai Eliyahu allowed them to blow the Chatzoitzreis. This is on a different occasion than the Eda Charedes blew in Tavshin Lamed in 1970. So Rabbi Lau's conclusion is quite interesting. La'or hanal, efshir behechlet l'tkoyeb esar. You could, he doesn't say you should. He doesn't say you have to. You could definitively blow Be'esara, but ein l'hoyreis lasis kein. You can't paskin to do that. You could definitively do it. Now, the words efshir and behechlet, you know, don't usually go together. You could definitively do it. Right, that means it's not usser. It's definitely not usser. Is it definitely mutter? Yeah, it's definitely mutter. You definitely could. Okay, and then he says in other words, b'milam acheros, because I think it needs other words, lemaisa, you could do it, v'loy la'alacha, but it's not halacha. What does that mean? What does that mean, you could, you do it, lemaisa, but it's not halacha?
Can't hurt, right?
No, it doesn't mean it can't hurt. That's not the meaning of lemaisa v'loy la'alacha. Lemaisa v'alacha means as follows. Lemaisa means blowing the Chatzoitzreis is of biblical origin. There's no question. There is strong halachic basis that it should be reinstated. However, in reality, it was never halachically, we'll have to daven here. If you daven here, we could blow Trump. No. But yeah, we'll make sure. Lock the door, you know. It has great value. But the halachic process goes by more than something that has great value. There are certain priorities in halacha. There are certain values in halacha. And one of the great values of halacha is precedent. One of the great values of halacha is what did our chachamim who came before us do? How did they rule? What was the progression? What was the transmission of this halacha? And in reality, it hasn't been performed in a normative way for all these years. So halacha cannot legislate that this mitzvah has to be done, but it has value certainly to remind us of this great mitzvah. And as a Hashem, we hope that by learning about this, this should bring us closer to the great day when we could restore all of the great avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Yi ratzon sheyibane meher v'yameinu. Shkoyach. Okay. We need a minion.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.